to check our phone before we get in. That's all right. Ain't no point. It's all right. It's just a fatal attraction.
Amen. Amen. That's all right.
Brothers and sisters, I have discovered that everything that seemed good to you isn't necessarily good. Do y'all hear me? There are some things in this life, that you may find yourself drawn to, that are not meant for your good. We can be drawn to a lot of things, but it's not good for us. Even though they may seem enjoyable to you at the time, they may in the end cause you destruction. It does not matter who you are, what your stature is, for no one is exempt from being caught up in a compromising predicament and questionable circumstances. I wish I had a few folks that loved the Lord. As I examine this text, a few nights ago, a movie came on one of my Showtime stations. That was made in the late 1980s. That had all of America and probably the rest of the world too talking. This was a movie that changed the way in which we look at both relationships and fidelity. This was a film that had married women daring their husband to even think about being unfaithful. Y'all need to talk to me in here. This was a film that had even the toughest, most masculine, manly men scared to even look at another woman. I'm gonna have joy.
Come on.
If I have to have it, me and the Lord. And y'all just have to get with me. It dealt with the danger, the act, and the consequences of becoming involved in an extramarital affair. And you know that movie was called Fatal Attraction. Can I preach this the way I want to preach it? It explored just what can and often does happen when a man decides to slip and dip with another woman. I know it don't fit none of them in here. Because we all born again in here and we love the Lord. I'm just talking. But if the shoe fit, you're gonna have to wear it today. Let me mention to you, all of you beloved, that likewise those of us who are in the household of faith, if we are not careful, we can end up in our own spiritual fatal attraction. If we are not careful, we can end up in the same predicament as the character in our text, Samson. This flaw in Samson led to his capture and downfall. Judges chapter 16 tells us what can happen when we allow ourselves to be attractive to sin. And the effect of this fatal attraction can have on our lives. James chapter 1 verse 15 informs us that when lust had conceived, it gave birth to sin, and sin, what it is full grown, produce death. And I want to let you know, when sin is full grown, the Bible said that it produced death. So this let us know that the attraction to sin is deadly, and it is one that is fatal. So the word fatal is defined as something causing or capable of causing death. Something or someone causing ruin or destruction. It comes from the Latin word fatum, which means deadly or destruction. One thing that we have to understand, brothers and sisters, is that the devil ain't no fool. Y'all just want to talk to me in here. The devil just ain't no fool. He knows what can get us. And he knows how to entice us. He ain't no fool. When it comes to our flesh, you see, he knows what turn you on. Y'all talk to me in here. He knows what make you tick. He knows how to get your goat. And he will put it right there in your face and say, here, go on and take it. You know what you want. You want to talk to me in here. And many of us done been caught up in various situations. Now, I'm not saying that you're not holy this morning. I'm just saying that you are not pure like you want folk to make you believe you are. You just talk to me in here. I'm not trying to bring up no past. But one thing for sure, all of us got a past. But it's good that God brought us away from our past. Just give me a moment. So he offer you fatal attraction. And we so gullible that we will let him lead us like a lamb to the slaughter. Brothers and sisters, this wasn't Samson's first encounter with a fatal attraction. It was only by the grace of God that he made it through before. But this time it will be Pharaoh. Now, if you read Judges, you know Samson had a weakness for women. And I said that simply to say this: we got to stop letting the devil play us like a sucker. Whenever he get ready. Now, many of us can say, now, Reverend, you talking that junk. But now, I want to inform you, if you on a journey, and the journey in which we are all on, quote, is a journey to heaven. And if you on this journey, you better clean up while you on the journey. Because when you get to your final destination, then it will be a sad day when the Lord said, depart. Amen. Are y'all with me in here? Right. We got to stop falling for the same old thing. We got to stop giving in to the same old desires. We are having an affair with fatal attraction. And that fatal attraction is sin. Now, most church folk don't want preacher to talk about sin. Because all of us in here, Reverend, and including myself and you too, done fell into sin one time or another. Come on, somebody. But by the grace of God, aren't you glad that he lift you up? You know, I'm not ashamed to talk about my past. Because the past is the past. I done walked out of the past into the present. And on my way to the future. Come on, somebody. So it ain't nothing wrong in admitting that you come short. I learned one thing in life. I ain't gonna get a headache trying to fool nobody. You just have to be yourself and press on. Because the one next to you, if you hunch them, they done something worse than what you done. Come on, somebody. So let us get real in the house of the Lord. And of course, the Bible tells us that if you want to make an end, you got to admit your guilt anyhow. You're going to have to admit it. You don't have to tell me, but you're going to have to admit it. So in this 16th chapter of Judges, and I feel like preaching in here. It tells us that Samson went to a place, and you look at it in your Bible, to Gaza, to see a harlot, a prostitute. Gaza was the largest of the five principal Philistine cities. Gaza was not a morally healthy place to be. Samson will expose himself to the evil of a very heathen city. Now understand that Samson was a judge. And he had been Israel judge 20 years. And he went to Gaza to be with a prostitute. Well, brothers and sisters, I must tell you, it makes a big difference where you spend your time. Amen. You don't learn nothing else. You better be careful where you spend your time. It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference. Spend it in the wrong place and you will pay a price in your character. Samson really defiled himself by going to Gaza. The scripture tells us that Lot defiled himself in moving to Sodom. And Abraham defiled himself in backsliding in Egypt. For there he picked up Hagar and what trouble she was to him. We must avoid places which give the enemy of our soul advantage over us. He can give us plenty of trouble even where we are right now. Don't you know that enemy can wake up some mess in a church? Come on, talk to me, somebody. So where are we? We can be in our homes and that enemy can create a mess in our household. And I want to share three things about fatal attraction. The first thing I want to share with you, it will take you farther. Then you want it to go. Yeah. That's the first thing I want to talk to you about. Fatal attraction will take you farther than you want it to go. Verse 4 says, and it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now, it seems to me, in viewing of everything that Samson had been through in his previous relationships, he will have learned to leave well enough alone. The Lord has gotten him out of two unholy relationships. You got to read chapter 15. And this is the third unholy woman that the scripture records Samson pursuing. But when you have your nose wide open,
come on now. Come on.
Let me get like the children says now. Can I go on? And you know, when this woman gets your nose wide open and you act like you can't do without her. Lord have mercy. I know you know what I'm talking about. And you are attractive. You get quiet. When they get your nose wide open and you're attractive and allured and enticed by something, you would do whatever it takes to get it. He kept company with a defiled lady. You cannot keep choosing company with defiled people without defiling yourself.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I hear folks talking about, I just stopped by. If you stop by long enough, you will end up getting into something that you shouldn't get into.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. So the people we keep company with can make or break us. They influence us much more than what we think. I seen folks say, no, I seen you. You tell your young folks, you tell your children, you shouldn't associate with certain ones. And then we end up not taking our own advice. I seen it happen. He was willing, according to the scripture, to go all the way to be with the Lord. And he was willing to do whatever it took to have her. And I seen, I recall, and several schoolmates in my younger days, and they used to walk down the hall. They couldn't even. Go from class to class without holding hands.
Well,
and here I'm trying to talk to somebody. None of them would pay me any attention. and they couldn't. They were hold hands. And then time they graduated from high school, they got married. And then stayed married 2 good years. All of that love, holding hands. We be on the bus and they all curl under one another.
Yeah.
Y'all don't act like y'all know what I'm talking
Come
about.
Now
I'm gonna stay scripture with you. But isn't it strange how we can want one moment. And the next moment, we can't even get along with one another. Oh, talk to me and help somebody. He was willing, and I'm talking about Samson, he was willing, according to the scripture, to go all the way. He was so captivated by her that he gave up his secret to his strength.
Yeah.
I see folks all the time, they talk to folks and they'll tell all their business. Thinking that that person really cares for them. But all they want to do is get in your business. Many times in life, we become so attracted to something that we are willing to forfeit the very thing that God himself has given us. And I believe that Samson wasn't intending to give Delilah his secret. But that what happened when we get enticed and lure into sin. When we become involved in that fish on a hook syndrome. Let me talk about that. Y'all may not know what that is. So I'm going to tell you what my fish on the hook syndrome is. When a fish goes to nibbling on your line, his intention is to eat your bait. But often what happens is that when he nibble at the bait, the hook catch in his mouth. And when he tries to get away, it pulls on your line, letting you know that you have a bite. Then you are able to reel them in. Are you with me? Can I talk about my fish on the hook syndrome? Oh, yeah, I did some meditation. And you see, Delilah had the right bait for Samson. She was a beautiful woman. And when a man think a woman look good, he'll keep on nibbling until she reel him in. Y'all better talk to me in here. You act like you don't know what I'm talking about. But you fine. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here because I feel my help coming in here. And sometimes we be fooled. And a lot of time the beauty is not real.
Yeah. Come on now.
You don't hear me.
Come on now.
Sometimes you think you got something until you get along and they start pulling off one piece at a time. They are not what you think they are. Sit down in here.
That's all right. That's all right.
I ain't talking about none of you women. God knows. I ain't talking about none. Don't y'all get mad.
Thank you, Jesus.
I ain't talking about nobody. But the truth is the truth.
Amen.
And the truth will set you free. But I ain't talking about nobody. Y'all keep y'all beauty on.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything that God make is for good.
Amen.
And so don't none of y'all get mad with me in here.
Amen.
But can I preach it in here?
Amen.
So she had what he wanted, and that was beauty.
Well,
and all she had to do was cast her line.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to hook Samson and take him farther than he wanted to go.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now, I got to meditating over this thing, and I got a lot of books, and I read one author says that he tried to just hang around the outskirt of sin by just being with her.
All right.
But she was able to look him and reel him in to get the secret behind his strength.
Amen.
And that's just what the enemy does. He's able to reel us in and take us farther than we want to go. And you said, Pastor, how? You telling me, so how, Pastor, can that happen? I'm glad that you're curious this morning. And I said before, the devil is not stupid. He knows how to get your goat. And verse 6 in that sad chapter 16, it said, she didn't hold any punches with Samson. She got right to the point. And I must tell you, when the devil get you within his reach, he's not going to waste any time getting a hold of you. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy by any means necessary. And the scripture tells us Samson lied 3 times. Samson lied to Delilah about his strength. Let me tell you, when you read verse 7, verse 11, and verse 13, you will find that Samson lied 3 times. But listen here, he tried to deceive a deceiver. You can't deceive them crooks because they know where you coming from. Come on, somebody. He tried to beat the liar at her own game. We go too far with the enemy when we try to beat him at his own game. And we end up going farther than we want to go. She bugged him. Boy, she bugged him so until he tell the liar, finally he broke down and said, sweetie, the secret of my strength. He finally, you know how folk just bug you. They just. They just keep on, just won't let you rest. Samson got down to Gaza, and he couldn't get back like he wanted to. So that she got with that woman that looked so good, and she just kept on. And that's what the fatal attraction of sin will do. It will wind up taking you farther than you wanted to go. The second point that I want to share with you. Fatal attraction will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. It'll keep you longer. That's what she wants, Jen. Now, don't none of you women get mad because I'm talking about those who is running foot loose and fancy free. And she called for a man. I'm about to wrap this thing up. And she called him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. Yeah. He had never put his head on her knees. And I'm going to tell you, you can get too carried away. And then he just got to talking. Yeah. Can I just go ahead on and put it out here?
Yes, sir.
And the moment he told her that his strength was in his lungs. He was done with. Brothers and sisters, when the enemy gets you involved in sin, he will do what it takes to keep you bound in a sinful situation. And many times in life, we allow the enemy not only to take us farther into sin, but he also keep us enslaved, entangled, and entrapped in it. So you can't praise and worship God. You want to know why some of us can't worship him in here on Sunday morning? When you've been entrapped into a situation, you are not free. See, if you're going to praise God, you got to be free. You got to be free to call on his name. You got to be free to let the devil know that I'm not afraid to praise God in your presence. And see, and I learned one thing. If you praise God in the presence of your enemy, he can't stay there. He got to go. So the devil, see, one thing, you got to have a strong desire for the Lord. And so the problem is not only are we relinquishing our covenant with God, but we become also confined to and incarcerated by our prison-like mentality. And so whereby the enemy can take full advantage of us and over our situation. But I come to tell the devil this morning, you might have got me in my younger days, but you can't deal with me right now. I don't know about you, but you ought to be strong enough now that you can tell the devil, get out of my way. And you don't even have to smile at him either. You can tell the devil, you're not going to hold me, nor is you going to bound me from worshiping my God. And I don't know about you, but God been too good to me. And he done brought me too far for me to let the devil hold me down when I come into the house of the Lord. Well, verse 21, I'm going to walk you for about another 6 minutes and I'm going to be through. Verse 21 tells us that the Philistine took him, put his eyes out. And that's what the enemy does to us. And you know, I got to thinking about that. He'll blind us. The devil don't want us to see, and he don't want us to be able to see the Lord. But I tell you, the devil want to keep us blind. And that's what he want us to do, which caused us to take over our eyes and take our eyes off Jesus. That's what the devil want us to do. He want us to lose sight of who we are to worship. He want to blind us, which hold us in the captivity of his will and cause us to depend on him. And I come by to tell you, I don't need to depend on the devil. Because the devil can't heal me when I'm sick. And the devil can't feed me when I'm hungry. So we take on the mentality like Samson. Because the scripture said that Samson become a grinder, a prisoner, whereby we become enslaved by him to do his work and his will. So fatal attraction of sin will keep you longer than you want it to stay. And then the third point as I come to a close. Not only will the fatal attraction to sin take you farther than you are willing to go, not only will it keep you longer than you are willing to stay. And finally, fatal attraction of sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay. And I think I ought to tell you, brethren and sisters, that Samson had to endure the high cost of humiliation from his enemies, the Philistine. The Bible says that they offer a great sacrifice to their god, the Dagon, and rejoice because he had delivered their enemy Samson into their hand. But when you read verse 30, it let us know that he ended up paying with his own life. And now if you're not careful, the devil will causing you to lose your joy. But Samson recognized that he had a fatal attraction. And so he said to God, God, let me die with the Philistine. But I got news for you. Devil can take your eyes, but the devil can't stop you from worshiping God. Can I get a witness? I must admit that the first time I read the story, I thought it had a sad ending to it. But then reminded what Paul said in Romans 8:28. He said, all things, and I want to tell you, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Can I get a witness? Don't let the devil take your joy from you. Can I get a witness? And some of us in here have been in a fatal attraction situation. But God is an awesome God. Can I get a witness? He didn't let the enemies take your eyesight. Can I get a witness? I'm happy to tell you, I'm happy that God is an awesome God. Even when I was in my sin, God still loved me. Can I get a witness? I like the Lord because he loved me when I was wrong. And he loved me when I was right. He took all of my bad things and turned it into good. Can I get a witness? And I come by to tell you, even though he allowed fatal attraction of sin to cause him to pay his own life, I come by to tell you, aren't you glad that God will always be done? Can I get a witness? The devil can't stop me now. Can I get a witness? I wonder if anybody here ain't not gonna let the devil stop you from running the race. Y'all gonna have to excuse me here. You're gonna have to excuse me. I get kind of emotional when I get to thinking about the goodness of the Almighty God. Can I get a witness? Maybe you don't have nothing to think about, but I got some joy that I can think about. I know that God been too good to me and not to tell him, thank you, Lord, for not letting fatal attraction to cause my death. You gave me one more chance. One songwriter said, just one more sunny day. You allow me to live one more day. I'm glad that you allowed me to live one more sunny day. When Samson got ready, he was being used as a grinder, as a slave. But the Lord got Samson and told him, I'm not done with you yet. If I wanted you to see your eyesight, I could heal your eye. But no. God took Samson and he used him, gave him more strength, where he pulled all of the pillars down, and he killed more Philistines than he did when he had his eyesight. I tell you, God, God is an awesome God. He's good. He's awesome. Do you know he's awesome? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? You've been in a failure attraction, but he brought you out. Won't he bring you out? Won't he bring you out? Won't he do it? Doors of the church is open. Listen. Doors of the church is open. Somebody may want to come to the Lord. You may want to get out of your fatal attraction situation. Or you just need a church home. You don't have to be dealing with no problems. But why don't you come? Listen. If I were you, I would get up out of my seat and make a step. Why don't you come? As we stand, this is your moment to come. Let all of us stand. And if we have somebody in the balcony or somebody on the floor that want to unite and be a part of the family of God, I invite you to walk down the aisle right now and give God the privilege to work within you. Come on. This is your moment to come. Come on. Come on. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. I'll just invite you to come. If you're in this aisle, just walk out. Tell your neighbor, excuse me, I gotta go. If you're in the center aisle, said, just get out of my way. God been too good to me. I got to go. And if you're to my far left and you don't have, just come on. Just come. Just come. You ought to walk. Just come. As the choir sings, and I'm standing here waiting with Deacon Jackson and Deacon Garner. Just walk down the aisle. I tell you, there is nothing better for me than witnessing for Christ. This is your moment to come. Come on. This is your moment. So much is happening and so much is going on, and you know you may be missing your moment to come. You ought to come. As the choir sings, come.
Over!
tell you, Mildred loved singing soul until she gave up smoking.